This thing on? Let's try this. I wanna see the Constitution burn. I wanna watch the White House overturn. I wanna witness some blue blood bleed fucking red. Wanna turn and lead to KKK. Wanna pull and shoot the NRA. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Murder the government. Murder the government. Murder the government and men. Murder the government. Murder the government.
It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Hello, hello, welcome, welcome, one and all. It is April 27th, 2022, and oh man, what a day today has been, making me crazy. Good morning, Raleigh. I hope you're doing well. What was it? There was a... Oh, I think you missed it. We had a Vegemite. I had a Vegemite question the other day. I was just curious if Vegemite was big in Australia, because it was big in South Africa, and I always associate your two countries. Hello, Claudium. Welcome, welcome. DJ Buttstuff, it looks like you're here too, so thanks for being here. And RIP Klaus Schulze, German electronic music pioneer, who passed away at 74. It is news to me, and I want to mention that you can chat in comm. That's what I'm doing a lot of right now. All you got to do is, well, just listen to this. All right, and if you'd like to join and chat during the show, you can do that while we're doing it live. All you need to do is SSH over to sdf.org, and once you're there, go ahead and launch comm. If you don't have an account yet, all you need to do is SSH over as new, N-E-W, at sdf.org, and you'll be able to sign up for an account. Once you sign up for an account, then you SSH over, you launch comm, that's C-O-M, you press enter, you press G for go to, and then type Anon Radio, all lowercase, all one word, and then that will connect you to the Anon Radio Room, where you get to hang out with cool people like Stug and Claudio M and Ratsu and X1 and Jazzmaz, if he's listening, and all sorts of cool people. So definitely go ahead and do that. Yupper. So yeah, that's all you got to do. Just SSH on over and join. Sorry, work has got me all worked up, and it delayed me from eating a couple of hours, which also further messed me up, made me grumpy. I'm trying my best. I'm gonna hold it together. I was very close to just being very rude to people on at work in the work chat. So I'm glad I walked away. All right. Well, let's go ahead and get started. Let's talk about the news, death and destruction and all of that. And we start the way we pretty much always start, and that's
world news.
That's right, world news. So, first up, Colombia conflict. Soldiers passed off killed civilians as rebels. That's right. 11 Colombian ex-soldiers are giving details about extrajudicial killings carried out by the army during Colombia's armed conflict. They are taking part in a public hearing of the special court examining crimes committed during the conflict. More than 6,400 civilians were killed by the military and falsely passed off as enemy combatants between 2002 and 2008, but this is the first time those involved have given detailed accounts. "We murdered innocent people, farmers," former soldier Nestor Gutierrez told relatives of victims. About 100 relatives were present at Tuesday's hearing of the Special Jurisdiction for Peace, which was set up as part of a peace deal between left-wing rebels of the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia, also called FARC, and the Colombian government signed the government signed with them in 2016. "It's not easy being here," Mr. Gutierrez said. I killed the relatives of those who are here." The former soldier recalled how he had lured civilians through lies and deceit to the places where he had shot them, cruelly killing them. "I placed weapons on them to suggest it had happened in combat, that they were guerrilla fighters. I sullied their name and that of their family," he said to the group, upping the army's kill rate by passing off civilians as rebels to give the impression it was winning the armed conflict against the group. "I robbed children of their fathers and parents of their children." Mr. Gutierrez was among six former members of the military who gave evidence on the first day of the hearing on Tuesday. Five more are due to appear on Wednesday. So, yeah, it's really, really awful. Santiago Herrera, a retired army colonel, described how he had pressured those he commanded to cause deaths and produce results. Mr. Herrera said he used a carrot-and-stick system, threatening those who did not deliver with bad reports and rewarding those who did with extra days off and bonuses. He told the court that he himself had come under pressure from the head of the armed forces at the time to up his brigade's kill rate. "I feel ashamed by the crimes committed by my brigade." So, it's pretty terrible stuff. So yeah, it's just an awful setup there. So to temper the good and the bad news, Ethiopian rebels in the Tigray region said Tuesday they had withdrawn from the areas they'd occupied for 9 months in neighboring Afar. If you remember, these are the two states there in Ethiopia. There's Tigray state and Afar, and they're two of the larger states in the north, and they border each other. Well, they say they've withdrawn from Afar. Both the Ethiopian federal government and the Afar regional authorities are yet to respond. Two TPLF spokesmen, Getachew Rita and Kendeya Gerberwat, told AFP on Tuesday that the rebel troops had completely evacuated Afar. "We've already withdrawn from all areas of Afar occupied by the TPLF," Kendeya Gerberwat said. The conflict in Tigray started in November 2020. Yeah, just 2020. The TPLF, which ruled Ethiopia for nearly 30 years until Mr. Abiy came to power in 2018, had been challenging the authority of the federal government for several months. It's worth noting, just as an aside to you guys, if you haven't heard this story before, Mr. Abiy was a big member of the TPLF until he decided to run the country himself on his own. After initially conquering Tigray, the Federal Army was driven out in June 2021 by a TPLF counteroffensive, which then advanced into neighboring regions and towards Addis Ababa. By December, the TPLF had finally retreated to Tigray, but continued to occupy several areas in the border regions. Welcome, Publius! Welcome, welcome! Thanks for being here. You missed the nuclear news yesterday. We were talking about nuclear weapons quite a bit. I'm not sure to call this good news or bad news, but here's some news out of Israel. Israel's Prime Minister, Naftali Bennett, says he will now pay for his family's food bills from his own pocket. Imagine that, a public official paying for his food that he eats. He faced criticism after a TV report alleged extravagant expenditure at his private home, which currently functions informally as his official residence. He later disclosed that $26,000 of taxpayers' money was spent each month, including $7,400 on food. Mr. Bennett, who is a self-made millionaire, insisted that his conduct had been within the rules. His office also said his predecessor, Benjamin Netanyahu, had spent three times more, $84,300 a month, at the Prime Minister's official residence in Jerusalem and his private home. Pretty sick, right? The BBC's Yolanda Nell in Jerusalem says there were regular reports in the Israeli press about lavish spending on restaurant food and hairstyling when Mr. Netanyahu was prime minister. Something to note, if you don't see images or know about this, Naftali Bennett is a bald man, so he is not spending a lot of money on fancy haircuts. He's explained that his family of six didn't employ a cook, as prime ministers are entitled to do, and instead ordered meals from restaurants. The Netanyahu family claimed it spent $11,000 each month on food. Mr. Netanyahu's Likud party said in response that the Bennett family's food bill just covered personal matters because their home was not used for official events, and that the Netanyahu family's monthly personal takeaway expenses had not exceeded $400. On Wednesday, the prime minister acknowledged the criticism by members of the public and announced he'd pay for his family's food. So, Claudio M. said maybe he's spending money on Brazilian waxes. So anyway, he's a self-made millionaire. And if there's one thing to know about people who are really rich or who have a lot of money, a lot of times they get that way by wasting other people's money and not wasting theirs, you know, because you can't stay rich if you spend your money. Anyway, Mr. Bennett set up and sold two high-tech companies for more than $250 million before entering politics. He earns $16,500 a month as prime minister, while the average monthly salary in Israel is $3,400. So just think about that. If the average salary in the U.S. is $50,000, then if he's earning he's getting $250,000 a month. That's not right. My bad. I'm bad at math. I'm angry. The anger blood is not good at math. It's like the ponfar. You can't think clearly when the ponfar is upon you. What is it? 3,400 times 12 is 4,800. So that's not too much different than CEOs, right? 16,500 times 12 is 198,000. So less than 200K. Anyway. Forget about it. This guy is helping perpetrate genocide against the Palestinians, so whatever. Benin, police officer killed in attack on police station. A group of armed men attacked a police station in northern Benin and killed a policeman before setting fire to the facility near the border with Niger and Burkina Faso. This attack, which occurred on Tuesday morning in Kariamama, has not been claimed. Excuse me. State-owned newspaper The Nation reported that the gunmen on motorbikes stormed the police station in Muncie, killing one member of the police force. The assailants then fired several warning shots before fleeing into the West Natural Park, one of two national parks in the border area that have been the scene of recent attacks. A fortnight ago, at least five Beninese soldiers were killed in an explosive attack in the Pinjari Park in the same area. And I think we talked about that. Low glycemia render people mean. Hey, X1, that's a good point. X1++ from Raleigh. Thanks, yes, that eluded me and I tried to recall it. But yes, Publius, motormen on gun bikes. Pretty neat. That would be a good band name, actually. But anyway. Yeah, there was last week, there was an IUD, or IED, that blew up and killed five cops in a car as they were driving along. And then this one here, these men on motorbikes, motormen on gun bikes, attacked the police station and killed one of the police before fleeing. So that's what's going on. An IUD exploding would actually tie in with a story that was at the end of the show, but we'll go ahead and talk about it now because I'm all about transitions. Amid U.S. abortion crackdown, California is seeking to be a sanctuary. If Roe v. Wade falls, 26 states are likely to ban abortion, and millions will need to cross state lines to access care. Advocates in California are seeking to transform the U.S. state into an abortion haven, as millions of people across the United States may soon need to travel thousands of kilometers in search of care. The conservative-leaning U.S. Supreme Court is expected to deliver a decision by June in a direct challenge to Roe v. Wade, the precedent-setting ruling that has guaranteed the right to abortion in the U.S. for nearly 50 years. If it is overturned, more than two dozen states are expected to quickly ban abortion, which will prompt a surge of people to cross state lines to access the procedure. But many of them will face challenges, including paying out-of-pocket for health care costs, travel, and child care. And that's where abortion funds come in, folks. You can find them online. Just look for abortion funds, and you'll find plenty of them that you can support. There's nationwide ones. There's local ones. In Texas, there's the Lilith. I think the Lilith Fund will help you kind of find where all of them are if you care to support that kind of stuff. fund it, as Claude Hume says. A very great one. We must keep our hamburgers up high and fund it. But yeah, so anyway, one of the things to mention, if you're not familiar with the laws and stuff in the U.S., is that a lot of states have laws on the books, and what would happen is once the federal government says that it's unconstitutional, they can't enforce that law anymore. But if the state leaves it on the books, or leaves it as a law of record for the state, if that precedent's ever overturned, the law's just turned back on. Whereas some states... Oh, shucks. Sorry about that. Where, like, some states will repeal those laws once they're deemed unconstitutional to kind of show, hey, we're on board with this. A lot of states leave those laws in place, or, like in Oklahoma, they passed a law that they knew wasn't constitutional, but it was going to be on the books. That way, if it does get overturned, they already have it in place. So here's one last step. What keeps me up at night, really, is that folks aren't going to be able to get here. Lisa Matsubara, Vice President of Policy and General Counsel at Planned Parenthood Affiliates of California, told Al Jazeera, Planned Parenthood is one of more than 40 groups that recently joined forces to issue a report outlining measures California must take to increase access. Coalition, known as the California Future of Abortion Council, says without these changes, the system will likely be overwhelmed by those traveling from out of state. So, that's what's going on there.
Get the news over with. I want to hear music.
I hear this guy. Let's just do one more quick story. Let's talk about where'd you go? There it is. Let's talk about Bitcoin. Bitcoin becomes official currency in Central African Republic. It was one of two accepted currencies in a South American country, but now Central African Republic has approved Bitcoin as legal tender. CAR is one of the world's poorest countries, but is rich in diamonds, gold, and uranium. Central African Republic. has approved Bitcoin as legal tender, just the second country to do so. Lawmakers voted unanimously to adopt Bitcoin as legal tender. The movement puts CAR on the map of the world's boldest and most visionary countries, it says. El Salvador, there we go, that's the country I was trying to remember, became the first country to adopt Bitcoin as an official currency in September 2021, a move criticized by many economists, including the International Monetary Fund, which said it increased the risk of financial instability. Others have raised fears that cryptocurrencies, such as Bitcoin, could make it easier for criminals to launder money. Claudia Wynn, where are you? Oh, there you are. Others worry because they use so much electricity to generate them. In 2019, just 4% of people in CAR had access to the internet. The internet is needed to use any cryptocurrency. The country currently uses the French-backed CFA franc as its currency, along with other former French colonies in Africa. Some see the adoption of Bitcoin as an attempt to undermine the CFA amid a contest for influence over the resource-rich country between Russia and France. So that's what's going on there. I thought that was kind of cool. Of course, money is, well, it's one of those things. It makes the world go round and all that kind of stuff. It also, kind of sucks. All right, Com. Here's a chance for your input. Do you want a 100 Gex song, which is like a techno song, or do you want a rap song? No votes from Com. We're going to listen to 100 Gex and AJ Cook, and this song is called Money Machine.
Baby, you think you're so fucking cool, huh? You think you're so fucking tough. You talk a lot of big game for someone who's such a small track.
Oh, look at those arms. Your arms look so fucking cute. They look like little cigarettes. I bet I could smoke you. I could roast you. And then you'd love it. You'd text me I love you. And then I'd fucking ghost you.
Big boys coming with the big dogs, they'll stop playing.
Fighting off the days, I'm trying to get it right. Said it all before, I'm starting once again. I'm better off alone.
Tell me what you do.
Anon Radio. You're listening to a non-commercial, non-prop, powered by SDF Public Access Unix System. Anon Radio is your non-commercial, non-profit, member-supported underground radio station.
That's right. You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF, and that was 100 Gex Money Machine. The initial first couple, I guess, minute or so, 30-something seconds, was an A.G. Cook remix, but I didn't like it. So I just played the original and cut it over as best I could. Man, so much news, not enough time. Of course, as X1 points out, money is debt and Jubilee is not crypto compatible. All right, well, let's go through some more information here for you. We've got 7 minutes before the Dubious Goals Committee. So we'll see. Raleigh points out, the news is miserable no matter who reads it. And it's true. We have a lot of problems in the world. Let me tell you real quick, I've got a tomato story, and then we'll go through some headlines. Well, actually, two tomato stories. That's why they're together. Macron dodges tomatoes in post-election walkabout. That's right, Emmanuel Macron narrowly missed being hit by a bag of tomatoes during a surprise visit to a working-class area north of Paris, as he promised a new style of listening to people after his re-election. In his first public appearance since Sunday's vote, Macron strolled around a food market in the town of Cergy, northwest of Paris. I might be saying that wrong, C-E-R-G-Y. Shaking hands and posing for selfies. Most people were friendly, some shouted congratulations, and others asked for help in finding a job. But at one point, there were briefly boos and a bag of tomatoes. Not just a tomato, but yes, Publius, a full bag. A bag of tomatoes was thrown towards Macron's back, but missed. A bodyguard opened an umbrella to shield the president, who quickly sidestepped the projectile and continued to greet people and shake hands. The Elysee Palace said the trip was Macron's way of listening to people's concerns, expectations, and needs. He told local young people, that he wanted to get out on the ground from the start. One young woman replied, "Don't just come here for the photos." Another onlooker said, "It's good that he's getting out of the LSE." Macron won a second term at the weekend, beating far-right candidate Marine Le Pen by 58.5 to 41.5. Tomate, una cerveza. Calm is fun today. Thank you guys for helping me out. Umbrella, much better than U.S. bodyguards, would have started shooting into the crowd. 100% Publius, I agree. The United States does not know how to handle thrown fruit. As we say, Trump described fear of being hit by killer tomatoes at speech during deposition. Windmills are apparently not the only benign object that former President Donald Trump considers potentially lethal. In a transcript of a deposition he gave as part of a lawsuit against protesters allegedly assaulted by his private security guards in front of his New York City skyscraper, the twice-impeached ex-president was asked about his exhortation to attendees at a February 2016 campaign rally in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, to knock the crap out of anyone they might see preparing to throw a tomato. Pressed on whether he recalled making such a statement, Mr. Trump replied, "Oh yeah, it was very dangerous," and said he and his entourage had been threatened. When the attorney deposing him asked what he had been threatened with, Mr. Trump said they were going to throw fruit at him and stressed that he had been advised of such a threat. "We were told, I thought Secret Service was involved in that actually, but we were told, and you get hit with fruit, it's very violent stuff. We were on alert for that," he recalled. So yeah. Of course, we need to remember that you're supposed to throw rotten fruit at the people you don't like, not fresh, healthy, good fruit. You want them to smell it for a long time. Oh man, we don't have time, but just be aware that boss wear is coming for almost every worker. Anybody who has an office job. Pulis points out, it was a common belief 200 years ago that tomatoes could be deadly. So anyway, boss wear is something to be aware of. If you're using a company-owned computer, remember, you don't own the computer, and the software that's on there, it's not working for you. All right, headline time, because we've only got about 3 minutes to go before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe, which happens every damn day at 1930 UTC. And then we've got the Zeptar Show at 20 hours, and, yeah, so just check it out. Hit up the schedule at anonradio.net for all your news. All right, South Africa is entering its fifth wave of COVID-19 pandemic. There's a new wave of COVID in South Africa. The fifth wave has arrived. The Genomics Research Center, headed by virologist Tulio de Oliveira, warned on Twitter. The number of new infections in the last 24 hours is still up compared to the last few days, 15 deaths and 83 hospitalizations. So, but every goddamn day, Claudio says. All right, so anyway, just be sure you're vaccinated, and whenever you get the alert that, hey, it's time to quarantine again, you know, don't say you didn't get warned. Speaking of warnings, possible Eid al-Fitr bombs attack in Nigeria, police are warning. Nigeria's Department of State Services cautioned the public about possible bomb attacks during the celebration, which marks the end of Ramadan. Ukraine war is bye, Raleigh. Good luck. Welcome back. Ukraine war to cause biggest price shock in 50 years, warns the World Bank. Biggest shock since the 1970s. It said disruption caused by the conflict would continue to drive huge price rises for goods ranging from natural gas to wheat and cotton. But don't worry, in the United States, they're gouging prices even without it. Top U.S. corporations are raising prices on Americans even as profits surge. That's all the time we got. It's time for the Dubious Goals Committee. Thanks so much. Have a good one. And, yeah, just question everything. Look for alternative sources of news, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Feels so clean like a money machine. Feels so clean like a money machine. Feels so clean like a money machine.
I love this part.